was in 11th grade, so we were learning Maseches Pesachim. So it was very exciting. The whole year we were build up the Shpisa by Rabbi Matzi, by Rabbi Matzi, the Shpisa, Bittel, Badika. And then the problem was the day after Pesach. So we come back to Yeshiva, and the Rebbe looks at us and he saw right away in our faces. So I remember he said, the godless of Torah is even the day after Pesach. You go right back to my Rabbi Matzi and the Shpisa again. The Pasuk says a kinyan mitzvah with Torah or. So mitzvahs are compared to candles and Torahs compared to light. So a candle is very, very limited, because it's very limited in scope. It works in a little corner. So mitzvahs are very limited. You send the sukkah on sukkahs. You send the sukkah in Chanukah, you have a bal teisif. You eat matzah basically, you don't eat matzah in the middle of July. So mitzvahs have their own little time window. Whereas Torah, you can sit and say shtikul Torahs on Hilchos Chametz in the middle of the winter also. So there's nothing that's ma'akev us right now to say shiurim on Hilchos Yom Kippur. So without any further introductions, we can get right back in the swing of things. So before we get to Yom Kippur, you have to talk about Erev Yom Kippur. So it's interesting that the 2 days in Halacha that have the most dinim revolving around the Erev, or Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Kippur, each one has its mamash, its own world. So we'll try to spend a little bit of time today, Shia, talking about the intricacies of the Halachas, not of Yom Kippur proper, but actually of Erev Yom Kippur. And some of the Halachas of Erev Yom Kippur will actually spill into Yom Kippur itself. So much of the discussion about Hilchos Erev Yom Kippurim revolves around one pasuk, one very, very cryptic pasuk in Parashas Emor, where the Torah presents to us what day in the calendar Yom Kippur is. Now, we know exactly what day it is. The Torah actually says it 4 or 5 different times, that it's on the Esau L'Chodesh HaShvi, it's on the 10th day of the 7th month, i.e. Tishrei. But in one place in Parashas Emor, the Torah says that V'inise B'Sav Shoseichem B'Tisha L'Chodesh B'Erev Me'erev and Erev Tish B'Zah Shabbatchem. So rather than telling us at the very end of the parashah, even though 4 psukim earlier the Torah said it's on the 10th day of Tishrei, the Torah rephrases it, coins a new phrase called B'tish L'chosh B'erev. Now we know, what does that mean? B'tish L'chosh B'erev means the 9th day towards the evening time, which is another way to say V'erev Ayoki Yom Echad. It's another way of saying at the beginning of the 10th day. So why does the Torah almost mislead us by connecting Yom Kippur to the 9th day? So the Torah Shabbat passed 2 different drushes about that statement. That's the Gemara Maseches Hashanah Daf Tesa Ben Aleph. So it's those 2 drushes that set the stage for much of discussion revolving around Hilchos Erev Yom Kippur. So one is a very, very famous drush where the Gemara says, Mikan, that the Torah is telling us that on the 9th day of Tishrei, we're actually supposed to do something, but not actually fast. There is a mitzvah sayyim of the 9th day of Tishrei, and that is a mitzvah chiloshtiyah. So it's the antithesis of the mitzvah of inoy. It's a mitzvah of achila ushtiyah on Erev Yom Kippurim. Eichel v'sheiseh v'chishabai ma'ala v'kos kilu sanat shivyasiri. So the Torah gives us char for eating. It's much easier to eat than it is to fast. So the Torah gives us char ki ilu, we fulfill the double mitzvah fasting, but the emes of mitzvah is actually the exact opposite. Very, very fascinating drasha. The simple reading of the Gemara is that it's mamash din d'oraisa. The Gemara is playing around with psukim, not just the smachta, the Gemara is darshining psukim. It sounds like for the simple reading of the Gemara, it's a real din minat Torah. And that's what appears in Shulchan Aruch. This din appears in Shulchan Aruch la'halacha, that there's a mitzvah, achila ushtiyah, on Erev Yom Kippur. So it's very unclear in the halacha what and how one goes about fulfilling this mitzvah. What does that mean? That means you're supposed to have a suda, 1 suda, 2 suda, shal shudas. What are you supposed to do exactly in order to fulfill this mitzvah? It's quoted in the day of Reb Chaim that Reb Chaim used to keep a candy in his mouth the entire day of Erev Yom Kippur, because he felt that the mitzvah of Achila is an ongoing mitzvah. The more the merrier. So the more you're involved in a ma'aseh Achila Shtiyah and Erev Yom Kippur, I raise a meshubach. But most people don't follow that practice. Most people assume that whatever Achila Shtiyah you do, that's considered to be a fulfillment of this mitzvah. The Minchas Chinuch has a fascinating sofek about how much does a person have to eat in order to fulfill this mitzvah Achila. Normally, the mitzvah achila of the Torah is shiur b'kezayis. That's a halacha mashu b'sin. It's tam achila b'kezayis, kor pesach, matzah, etc. Here, the Minchas Chinuch is not sure, because the shiur of inuya and Yom Kippur, hopefully we'll talk about this probably more next week, the shiur of inuya and Yom Kippur is actually not b'kezayis. If a person eats just a kezayis and Yom Kippur, it's also a min haTorah, because chatzi shiur also min haTorah. But that's not the shiur inuy. The shiur inuy that the Torah is speaking about, the Yechayv Kar is for, that's more than a kezayis. That's a shiur of kesevis agasa. That's the size of a large date. My high, where did this shiur come from? Why is this shiur applicable? So that's the Gemara explains in the Enemet Sechaz Yuma, that if the Torah would have said, lo soich lo v'yom kippurim, so then the shiur would have been achila, like achila's matzah, achila and korban pesach. But the Torah phrases the Isser of Achila in a very, very roundabout way. There's a mitzvah's inoy, there's an Isser to break your inoy. So if you eat a kazayas, I'm still in the state of inoy. I'm still very hungry. I eat a kazayas, I'm still hungry. If I get to the point of eating a kesefas agasa, that's already considered to be a bitul ha'inoy. So that's a special halach mashum sinai that the Gemara has in the end of Maseches Yuma, that the shear of kesefas agasa, that was a unique shear that was given for Yom Kippur. So Maseches Chinuch is not sure the mitzvah's Achila in Erev Yom Kippur. Is that follow the regular rules of Achila? So it's a kazayas. As long as I had a kazayas, I'm yotzei the mitzvah. Do I say no? That since the whole mokah for the mitzvah is derived from the loshon inoy ki ilu isana shivasiri, so maybe the shear of inoy should carry off to this as well. So if a person eats less than a kesef segasa, maybe he didn't fulfill the mitzvah. Maybe he fulfilled the mitzvah with taras chatzi shear. It's like eating a small piece of matzah. That's a machlekes nacharenim. It's a guy on a desert island, or not such a crazy shot. Guy sick, and whatever. He's not going to have to eat a kesef. It's not going to happen. For better, for it's not going to happen. Should he have something? Is it better to eat something, or do we say that he's not doing the mitzvah? Not doing the mitzvah. So that's the machlekes acharenim. The same way we find the concept of chatzi shir by isurim, do we find the parallel halacha by mitzvahs? But you're not yoytze. It just means it's better than nothing. So over here, in order to be yoytze the mitzvah, Bechaschil is not sure what the shir is kizayis, but the shir is gasim. So in Shulchan Aruch, the whole thing doesn't appear. There's no mention how much you have to eat. It just says you have to be ma'ab yachil l'shtiyah on Erev Yom Kippurim. There is a famous chakira that the later Acharonim have as to what is the relationship, if any, between the mitzvah achila on Erev Yom Kippur and the iser achila on Yom Kippur. So there are some Acharonim who say that the two are very, very linked one to another, which would seem to reflect the drasha. The very drasha comes from the din of inui. There are some who say that the nature of the mitzvah achila is a preparation for inui. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to rely on our own intuition, our own judgment to eat. He was afraid maybe we'd be too busy learning and being chayz b'tshuva, we would forget to eat an Erev Yom Kippur. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a mitzvah, made a mitzvah. We'll get it. Even the Bnei Torah have to stop learning. The Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva used to send the Talmidim home 2 days a year. He would send the Talmidim home on Erev Yom Kippur to make sure that they would eat. He would send the Talmidim home on Erev Pesach to make sure that they would put their kids to sleep. They could take a nap on Erev Pesach. They didn't take a nap. The kids aren't going to be up for the Seder. So just by the way, you see that there was no Medizman, that Erev Pesach they were still learning. It was regular Siddurim. He sent them home a few hours earlier, just the afternoon, to make sure to put the kids back. But you don't get the impression that the next day they were off on the teal somewhere. I mean, that was the Zman. No, whatever. Another time, another place. Anyway, that's a bit of an issue. No better Zman. We just go straight back. Okay. So back to our story. So some Acharonim highlight the fact that the mitzvah sechila is really in a sense a chod, it's like a preparation, and the guidelines that govern the mitzvah have to be looked at through the lens of the preparation for the mitzvah's inui. That's what the simple reading of the Gemara sounds like. That's why it's called v'nisim asaf shesechem b'tisha, because I'm being misada on chi, not really, I'm preparing for the inui, I'm doing something that's a chod for the inui, I'm doing the chod on the 9th for the inui on the 10th. And the other Acharonim say, lo yid v'me'edem. There's a mitzvah sinu on Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah achila on Yom Kippur, and the two have nothing to do with each other. They're two separate independent mitzvahs. My nafkamina, so chapsa nafkamina as follows. Let's say a person knows they're not going to fast Yom Kippur. There's a chalish yesh prisakana. Hopefully we'll talk about that in next week, following week, you know, what the parameters of that din are. So guys, a chalish yesh prisakana, he's not fasting tomorrow. So if he knows in advance he's not fasting tomorrow, does he have a mitzvah sachil on Erev Yom Kippur? So the Acharonim have a big tumult about this. But not sure. Some Acharonim say it's not mechuyev to eat. I mean, he can eat if he wants, but there's no mitzvah sachil from an Erev Yom Kippur. If he knows in advance, he's not going to be fasting anyway. Other Acharonim say no. It's a separate independent mitzvah. Ein lanu lidrosh tamei atayra, the shir tamei the grams. A mitzvah b'fnei atzma. Some want to say, why should there be such a mitzvah? It's a very mundane kind of mitzvah. What are we exactly celebrating on Erev Yom Kippur? So some want to put a little bit of a drush spin on it. The Gemara says that there were multiple Kabbalah Torahs. There was Kabbalah Torah of Shavuos, there was Kabbalah Torah of Purim, there was Kabbalah Torah of Yom Kippur. So whenever you have a Kabbalah Torah, you have to celebrate. That Shavuos is Yom Shiri Tal Yisrael. So the Gemara says in Pesachim, in the 6th parak, that even the Tana Rabbi Eliezer, who held that you're allowed to fast on Yontif, you're allowed to spend the whole day sitting and learning all day on Yontif, you'll sit and learn and daven, and you won't have a suda. So we paskin not allowed to do that. We paskin chatzil lechem, chatzil Hashem. And Rabbi Eliezer held no, that it's okul Hashem, okul lechem. You want to choose to sit and learn and daven all day, you're allowed to do that. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Eliezer was maida on Shavuos, so you're not allowed to do that. Why do Yom Shiri Torah Yisrael? So somehow Kabbalah Torah requires a psa'a suda. That l'chul yam. What that means, we'll get the l'chul Shavuos at some point, probably close to Shavuos. We'll talk about that. And Gemara says that Even the Tanna Rabbi Elazar agrees that Purim you have to have a Suda, you may Mishtav Simcha Ksiv. So the Ksav Sefer writes in his Shuvas that the Suda's Purim is basically like the Suda Shavuos. It's a Suda of Kabbalah Satorah. That's why it's a non-negotiable Suda. You have to have a Suda. You can't have that Shaykh of Kabbalah Satorah without having that celebration. Why that should be? It's another story, another time, another place. So it could be when the Gemara says that there were three Kabbalah Satorahs in history. There was Kabbalah Satorah of Shavuos, then there was the re-Kabbalah of Lucha Shnias of Yom Shnei Yisrael, Lucha Shnias was Yom Kippur. And then there was the third Kabbalah Satorah of Purim, Kippur V'Kiblu. So each one of those occasions warrants a celebration, a yearly annual celebration. So where's the celebration in Yom Kippur? You can't have it in Yom Kippur. You can sit down and have a big Siyam, like a big Nick Suda Smitzvah in Yom Kippur. You can't do that. So the Suda Smitzvah, the Suda's Kabbalah Satorah of Yom Kippur is such an Erev Yom Kippur. So some Achorim put a spin on that. That's the lumdus, that's the bira dover in the Suda. According to that, it's nothing to do with the mitzvah Zinui. It is zero to do with Zinui. It has to do with the unique fact that happened Yom Kippur, in addition to being Yom Slich L'Chil Kapara, and the mitzvah Zinui happens to also be a historical day on the calendar for celebration of Lucha Shnias. So it's not clear what the essence of the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is. And the chapsin of Kamina Ladina, in terms of if I know I'm not going to be fasting, so do I still have a mitzvah Achilana? I remember my father, Lavashalom, so it was his last Yom Kippur, so right towards the end of his life, he was not well enough to be fasting in Yom Kippur. So the shul that he used to daven in, they used to have right after Havdal, right after Ma'ariv, on Mitzvah Yom Kippur, they had what some shuls called the breakfast. So everyone would go downstairs to the social hall, there would be a little cake, a little fruit, a little something, a whole, little celebration. So I remember the last year of my father's life, so at the end of the Ila, so he went out to join, he had been eating all day. So he was eating, so he was good, he had to eat all day. So he went down to the breakfast also. So when he was telling me over that he went down, it was a good time, it was so nice, met all the chevra, they were eating together, even though he had eaten throughout the course of the day. So I commented that it made a lot of sense. I said, for him to have to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, you could argue, because the eating on Erev Yom Kippur is a hachana for Yom Kippur. The eating on Mitzvah Yom Kippur is a different world than Amrei. It says in Shulchan Aruch, quotes from the Medrash, Taisus writes this way, that there's a real din, there's a mitzvah sachila Mitzvah Yom Kippur, not because you fasted, you know you're fasting, it's a celebration of Mechilas Havainis. It's a different word, because the Baskel comes out, the voice from heaven comes out Mitzvah Yom Kippur and says, Lecha chobalach mecha shtei b'siyanecha, ki rosa l'kibas ma'asecha. That baskel is not just for the healthy people, but the chaylim don't get a mechilas avodas. Of course they get a mechilas avodas. So Yom Kippur is mechaper for everybody. If a guy's healthy and he chooses not to fast on Yom Kippur, it's not the Gemara Shavuos talks about, maybe he doesn't get a mechilas avodas. But a guy's doing b'chaybim, listening to the doctor, listening to the rabbi, he's eating on Yom Kippur kedin, so of course he gets it. He's also, ma'av yash prased v'choshar v'shar, for the chadash yash prasad also. So I told my father, Shtibul Torah, that eating on Yom Kippur kens on his potter, eating on Yom Kippur, he's taka chaybim, like everybody else. So get back to the story. So some achronim add on to this fancy chakira and have a shayla, are women obligated in this mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur? So the achronim say, maybe it depends. If it's part of the mitzvah zina, it's achana for the inoy, so then women are chayavos and inoy, because inoy is a losa say, so women have to fast on Yom Kippur. But if you hold that it's a mitzvah for the atzma, you can argue, maybe it's a mitzvah shishas bangram. It's a once a year mitzvah, it doesn't happen every day of the year. So mitzvah shishas bangram, or maybe women up to us. So there's a fancy shtikotar, I think it appears also in the Ksav Sefer, a different shuv, if I'm not mistaken, where he writes that based on this Shtikl Torah, it comes out if you have a not well woman, so she for sure doesn't have to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. She doesn't have mitzvah sechil on Erev Yom Kippur. I'm a man of shach. If the nature of the mitzvah is achana for the tzayim, so then if you're a chadash yesh for sekana, the mitzvah doesn't apply to you. If you're if it's a mitzvah if liatzva, if you're a woman, see a p'tur anyway. Mitam nashim p'turus mitzvah shes v'agrama. So we don't know what the answer is. So we tell all the chalim they should eat. We tell all the women they should eat. But if you're a chayla who's a woman, so then man of shachi yefatim. So I'll razzle dazzle shtukl tar alumnus that sabachram. I think it's the piyaz nishim saf. So if I'm not mistaken, there is another shayla that the poskim raise. When exactly does this mitzvah begin? What's called Erev Yom Kippur for these purposes? So we know usually the halachic day begins the night before. So some achronim write that this mitzvah starts on the night before, the night of Ches going into Tes, Tishrei. That's when the mitzvah sechila already begins. The night before, there's also mitzvah leharbis b'suda. Another achronim say no, they don't think so. They think that it only starts the next morning. The night before, somehow that's not included in the mitzvah. So what's that based on? What's arbitrary machlekes? Where does the machlekes come from? So some of the latest farm, they try to connect this also to the same basic shaila. How linked is this mitzvah sechila to the dinim of inoy? So if you hold that it's nothing to do with inoy, it's a mitzvah essay to be mesameach. Achila, Shnia, Nervia, Mikiburim, Lesamech, Bechagiga, Sasim, Kabbalas, Luchashnias, etc. So then it's a halachic day of Erev Yom Kippur. So the din is nikva, the whole day of Erev Yom Kippur is nikva. It's a Yom Simcha, Yom Kabbalah Satayra. So if that's the case, so then Mechateis, there should be a split between the night and the day. But if you tell me that, it's like, do it Erev Yom Kippur is a day of Simcha Satayra. It's simply a way to, biologically, to make sure you have enough food in your system. So one can argue that maybe the mitzvah is given when, if I eat a big, big meal at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Erev Yom Kippur, that's going to help me. The fact that I had an extra slice of pizza 24 hours before, maybe that's not going to help me fast any better. So again, that maybe that's the reason why some Acharonim don't think it starts tonight before the Vilna Gaon has arrived from the Gemara Begin Maseches Ksubos, where the Gemara talks about the sugyas of Shema Yishchad Ben Oif, a whole complicated sugyas about making weddings on Matzah Shabbos, and the Gemara talks about we're afraid you're gonna make a mistake if you get to get in the Shech. In the middle of that sugya, the Gemara has a whole discussion about the Rav Yom Kippur, and the Gemara has a psa'adiyah from the Gemara Ksubos that there's no mitzvah the night before. So that's a question. Any real nafkamina at the end of the day, nafkamina whether you should go out of your way to eat something special on the night of Rav Yom Kippur. So the Mefarshim explained that it could be that this is the source for the Tumid Hagam and the Ramah. I think we may have mentioned this when we talked about Slichas. The Ramah mentions there are two Minhagim about Slichas and Erev Yom Kippur. Two diametrically opposed Minhagim. There's one Minhag, the less popular Minhag, to say very, very long Slichas and Erev Yom Kippur, which makes a lot of sense. Madach, he said long Slichas and Erev Hashanah. So, Kavachem Erev Yom Kippur. Of course, you have to say long Slichas. And the Ramah quotes another Minhag, which is Makatzra B'Slichas and Erev Yom Kippur. That has become the more popular Minhag. Although in Breuer's, they have the first Minhag. In Frankfurt, they have the first Minhag. And when I was a Rav in Paramus, so they had some of the Breuer's Minhagim, so I kind of was part of that. So I used to come to shul and say Slichas. I would come to shul and stand there when they said Slichas for an hour and a half. I would stand there and prepare my drushes for Yom Kippur, whatever it was, my pesed, whatever other things I was catching up on that nobody would saw. So, but the shul would say Slichas. I felt as a rabbi, I have to be there for the Slichas, so I have to do a pitzina. I can't publicly announce I'm not saying Slichas, I'm learning Daf Yomi. So you have to do it in a way that's, discreet. Anyway, whatever it is. But that minig of saying long or short slichas, where did that minig come from? So the Paiskim explained, it came from this basic shaila. In the olden days, slichas was said at night. So they used to say it, halachli at night, as we've learned the sugyas of it says, we're supposed to say slichas meshmar sabaykeh. So it's technically before Elos HaShachar. So those places that used to be mekatzim slichas, they felt that it's a psayyamtiv, it's a yam man simcha. You don't say langa megillas of slichas, but it's a yam. You say chit chak 2 seconds. You say one or two shem shems, and you say a quick shmach aleinu and call it a day. So the other minig who said, no, you could be ma'arech b'slichas, you should be ma'arech b'slichas, held that it's a yontif in the daytime, it's not a yontif the night before. So I'm saying slichas at 3 o'clock in the morning, b'shmar sabayker, so I should say a longer megillah slichas, longer than Erev Rosh Hashanah. So that's perhaps where the minhagim came from. So the Paiskim want to connect, and maybe that same shaila comes in terms of tachron on Erev Yom Kippur. Is the day of Ches Tishrei by Mincha, do you say Tachron or not? So the general rule of Tachron runs as follows. Whenever you have a Yom Simcha, that the Simcha already begins at night, it's already special at night. Say Chanukah. Chanukah begins at night. Purim begins at night. Rosh Chodesh begins at night. So whenever you have a day that's unique, even the nighttime is unique, so that knocks off the Tachron from the Mincha before. Whenever you have a day that there's nothing really happens at night, the grandiose celebration, whatever it is, doesn't begin until the next day, so then usually Tachron ends up getting said the Mincha before. That's the machlekes of Paiskim Lag BaOmer, whether you bump out Tachron the day before Lag BaOmer. Does Lag BaOmer really, really begin at night? Is it really Simcha at night, or the Iker Simcha Lag BaOmer? And there are Muslims that say really only begins the next day. Different minhagim about that. So there are two minhagim about should you say Tachron on Erev Yom Kippur by Mincha. So it's probably the same shaila. If you hold that the Simcha really begins at night, so that it would be appropriate to bump out the Tachron before. If you hold the Simcha doesn't begin at night, so then You should say Tachron. So we have a little bit of a split. We have a contradiction in Minhagim that our Minhagim don't match up to all this Lumdus, because our Minhagim, most of our communities, we don't say a long Slichas and Erev Yom Kippur. So that seems to be assuming, like, to some degree, there is something at night. But most shuls do say Tachron on Erev Yom Kippur. So those two Minhagim, even though they sound like they should be totally possessed, somehow the mice in practice didn't end up lining up properly with a little bit of a Tzorchin in the Minhagim. But the mice, and this is all part of this whole Lumdus that the place can develop. So this is all one aspect of Erev Yom Kippur based on this idea of the mitzvah achila and Erev Yom Kippur. Again, there's another, a whole other aspect of Rabbi Yom Kippur. Look at that from the same pasuk, and that's what the Gemara is trying to figure out. Do we dash in one din, two dinim? So the Gemara says that another reason totally why it says, B'tisha l'chaydesh, to teach me, Mikayin shemasifim michal l'chaydesh. From here we derive that you're not supposed to wait till the 10th of Tishrei to start fasting. You're supposed to start a little bit early. B'tisha l'chaydesh berev, not in the morning, but B'tisha otot, right before the beginning of Sir b'chaydesh, so you start the fasting, you're ready, B'tisha l'chaydesh berev, and he's supposed to start B'tisha l'chaydesh. Mikayin shemasifim michal l'chaydesh. So the Gemara says, that's true about Inui. How do you know about malachas? So the Gemara says, yeah, it's also malacha. And how do you know that didn't carry over to Shabbos and Yom Tov also? How do you know you have to start Shabbos and Yom Tov early? Because it says Tishbetu Shabbatchem. So mikan that kolmok of sheish bo shvisa, whether it's Yom Kippur, whether it's Shabbos, whether Yom Tov, everything across the board, it's there's mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos. Then the Gemara says, how do you know that's true b'chnisaso? How do you know b'tziyaso? How do you know you have to end Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur later? Because it says be'erev ad erev. So just as the first erev you start early, so the last erev you end late also. So based on this whole razzle dazzle drasha, the Gemara comes up with this klal: mikan she kol makom sheyesh bo shvisa mosif michal hakodesh be b'chnisaso be b'tziyaso. It's be b'tziyaso. And the simple reading of the Gemara Rashan is this: is the mamash absolute bona fide din mitaraisa, the mitzvah of tasefes Shabbos v'Yom Tov and Yom Kippur. So the Rambam, when he quotes this halacha, quotes it in a very, very limited scope. Rambam, beginning of Hilchos Shvisa Zasar, quotes the mitzvah of Tosefes, and he only quotes it lagabi inui. He doesn't mention it lagabi malacha. So another thing, according to the Rambam. The Gemara says beferish by inui and by malacha, and the Rambam left it out. The Rambam says beferish. He quotes the pasuk. He quotes it, and he says mikan she kloimar she tatchilu les anos mibiyod yom, something like that. He doesn't say tatchilu lefresh b'malacha mibiyod yom. Not a mention of niyasim malacha. Then you open up Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Yontif. There's no mention of Tosefes b'chol. The Rambam never says mikan that you have to start Shabbos early, mikan you have to end Yontif late. So not a zeichah, not a remez. So what happened to the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah? So the Vilna Gaon has a whole arichos b'shitas Rambam, following already the earlier Nesi Kalim, who started the ball rolling, and the Gra completes the picture. And the Gra points out that he thinks that Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that extrapolated from Yom Kippur to Shabbos to Yom Tov, from Inui to Malach, the whole 9 yards, he says that goof was a machlekes Tanoim. Who? We learn Rosh Hashanah and the test. There's no machlekes. What Tana disagrees? So the Goyin shows you, based on his understanding of a Mishnah, Masechta Shabbos, there's a Mishnah in Shabbos that contradicts this Braisa. There's a Beferish Mishnah that says that there's no such thing called Tosefes Shabbos. You don't have to start Shabbos early. What Mishnah? The Mishnah in the end of the first Beferish Shabbos says that there was machlekes b'Shabbos b'Silel. Can I set up a trap of an animal on Erev Shabbos that's going to trap the animal on Shabbos? I'm going to set up my kalim to do a malacha for me. I'm going to set up my my millstones. I'm going to set up my my traps. I'm going to set up my dyeing system. Whatever system I'm going to set up from before Shabbos, that the etzim ha-malacha, the tzeveya, the teichein, the tzeda, all the malachas are going to happen on their own using my kalim on Shabbos. Is there anything wrong with that? So Bishami says that's an isadir aisa. Bishami says that's called shrisas kalim. Bishami held the same way you're not allowed to have your behemoth do malacha for you on Shabbos, bin ha-Torah. You're not, that's a poska seres adibris. You're not allowed to have your kalim do malacha either. And Basil says, Basil says there's no such thing. So Basil says you want to set up your traps, you can set up your traps. As long as you make sure to finish it before Shabbos begins. So when Basil wanted to describe the way to make sure that everything is in set before Shabbos starts, so Basil could have said, well, Basil matirim, ad she Shabbos matchalos. Or Basila Matirim ad lach benching. Or Basila Matirim until, I don't know, until Minchasat. They could have whatever they wanted. Basila Matirim, remember the Mishnah? Basila Matirim Mashemesh. Basila said, go outside and see. Do you see the sun in the sky? If you still see the sun in the sky, then you know for a fact you can set up your traps. The minute you can't see the sun anymore, it's time to go daven. Something. I'm not sure we're supposed to be davening, but at that time, you know, you can't set your traps anymore. That was a dramatic, poetic way of describing their disagreement with Shabbos. So the Ramban already in Sefer Torah Adam, way before the Goyin, already was sensitive to that lashon of the Mishnah. What do those words mean? Basil matirim hashemesh. It sounds like Basil will say you're allowed to do malacha as long as you can see the ball of the sun. You can do malacha. What happened to Tosefes Shabbos? Where does that fit into the picture? So the Ramban develops a whole razzle-dazzle Shulchan Torah that Tosefes Shabbos starts after the sun sets. So It starts after the sun sets. After the sun sets, it's already Shabbos. So it's already Suffolk, and it's a chorus. It's a Suffolk, it's a skill. I mean, that's the Sefes. The Sefes means you have to start, you have to be Kabbal Shabbos before Shabbos starts. So how could the Ramban say that? So the Ramban explains, because the Ramban was following the view of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam's shita was, that just because the sun sets, that's meaningless. That doesn't mean anything. That's not Shkia. Banish Pashas doesn't start until close to an hour later. Again, beyond the scope right now of the discussion of this Mani Ayyim. But suffice it to say that Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramban will follow suit, say that just because the sun sets, big deal. We got very, very wonderful shuls right over Tamar Shkia today, six something or other. Shuls are not even, they're not even getting ready for Mincha yet. They haven't started to get the Karat Lecha and to get the Dav Mincha. We got another 45 minutes to go. So that's what Rabbeinu Tam and Rabban said. It's still Matir B'Shemesh. You saw the sun. As long as you see the sun, you're good to go. The minute the sun sets, you're still good to go. But then you have to start to discuss the Sefer Shabbos. Then we can reckon with when you should start the Sefer Shabbos. So the Gra comments of Bira Gra, Nechu Shabbos says, that Shtichot Torah, the Ramban, makes a lot of sense if Rabbeinu Tam's right. But if Rabbeinu Tam's not right, and when the sun sets, when the ball of the sun is no longer visible, that's a Suffolk, it's a Deraisa, it is a Skila, then obviously that cannot be Pshat Nishra. So the Gra just points out that the Rambam happens to not hold like Rabbeinu Tam. The Rambam never says anything. The Rambam says the sun sets, the game's over. So what does Beis Hamatir Mashemesh mean? What happened to Tosefes? That's what the Gra says. We see a raya from this Mishnah that this Tana denies Tosefes Shabbos. There's no such thing as Tosefes Shabbos. And the Gra made a whole Shtichot Torah that the Brais and Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes is against the Stam Mishnah at the end of Masechet Shabbos, first Parak Shabbos, because there's no way to make sense of the statement Matir Hamatir Mashemesh. And therefore, the Gaon said, according to the Rambam, there's no mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos. But it's a Pasuk Chumash, but Tishlo Chodesh Be'erev. What do you mean there's no Tosefes Shabbos? So says the Gra, the Rambam must have understood, okay, we're putting this all into that Tana, that Tana that the Gaon's claiming, convincing us, that denies Tosefes Shabbos, but the Pasuk Chumash. So the answer is the Pasuk Chumash doesn't say anything about Shabbos. The Pasuk Chumash is talking about Yom Kippur. So the Rambam held that there's a mitzvah of Tosefes Yom Kippur. There's no mitzvah to Sefer Shabbos for Yom Tov. And even Yom Kippur itself, what does the Pasuk say? V'ini Sefer Stasso Seichem Tish L'Chodesh. It doesn't say Tish Pursu Bim Alocha. Inui has to begin before Yom Kippur begins. Malachana, you could be driving to Shul till the buzzer, says the Gaon V'Dasa Rabbah. You can imagine, in your car, you're pressing the gears as the sun's about to set. Just one thing, make sure you're not, you took the candy out of your mouth. Make sure you're not munching on that last piece of cake before Yom Kippur starts. Because that would be a bitul mitzvah deraisa. So the guy is driving, he's doing malacha, but he's fulfilling Tosefes Yom Kippur. So all the other Rishayim say, what? He said, Tosefes means you have to make it like Yom Kippur. Ram says, no, you don't. It's not a din of Kiddush Sayyim. It doesn't exist b'Shabbos in Yom Tov. It's a din prati in Yom Kippur, only the mitzvah of Inui Shiva. That's a very, very unique way of understanding this mitzvah. So the bottom line is a major, major machlokes, the Rambam and other Rishonim, as to what is this mitzvah. So according to the Ramban and one day in Shulchan Aruch, the mitzvah of Tosefes is not Yom Kippur Shir. It's not Yom Kippur. It's Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur. Whatever there's the din of Kiddush Hayom, there's a mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos and Yom Tov, whatever that means. Bein lefanav bein leacharel. But according to the Rambam, this is an Erev Yom Kippur Dikud Din. This is unique to Erev Yom Kippur. It has nothing to do with other days of the year. And it's not even legabi all aspects of Yom Kippur. It's only legabi this one particular small prat of Inu and Yom Kippur. Where does this place us, Lamaisa? What does this mean for us? This Machlokes is Rambam and Rishonim. So how do we do this? How do we fulfill what we're not even sure what we're supposed to be fulfilling, but whatever we're supposed to be fulfilling, how do we fulfill it practically? So we'll have to wait till next week. So hopefully we'll finish it before next Yom Kippur comes around. So we'll try to figure out what this means for us practically. Okay, stop. Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbos.